Tonight, we want to take our Bibles and open to the book of Nehemiah in the 11th chapter tonight, Nehemiah chapter 11. We are quickly coming to close of the study of this book. We have been considering Nehemiah under the theme, determined to do God's work. I trust that you and I are all consciously aware of the reality that there is much work that needs to be done for the Lord Jesus Christ today. Many of us here this evening have been saved for many years, and sometimes I think it's easy for us to begin to think that we have done all that we can or all that we need to do. But the reality is that as long as the Lord Jesus Christ tarries upon this earth, as long as He chooses to be long-suffering to those who are lost, there is much work that every believer needs to be involved in. In our study of the book of Nehemiah, we have found a man of faith and a man of prayer who through perseverance led a people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and has brought them through a period of revival. The question that remains is simply this: will that work that has been done last? Would the people over that time, a course of time, see the value in the work that has been done? Tonight I want to come to Nehemiah chapter 11 and chapter 12, and I want to consider them in overview fashion tonight. And I want us to consider how the people of God in Nehemiah's day and how we can show that there is value in the work of the Lord. I've entitled tonight's message "With Eternity's Values in View," because I really feel that's what we find as we come to these two chapters in the study of the book of Nehemiah. Before we go any further, though, I want to bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time and our study tonight. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you tonight that we can come again to this book of Nehemiah, which teaches us how we can remain determined to do the work of the Lord. For Father, we realize that there is much work for us to do in these days. Father, all around us there are souls that are lost without Jesus Christ, and many even in our own community that have probably never heard the name of Jesus Christ and what He has done for them. There are lives that need to be impacted. There's a gospel message that needs to be shared. There's a generation that needs to be prepared and ready to lead in days to come. Father, there is much work to be done. And your people today need that good and godly determination that we will arise and we will put a mind to do the work of the Lord. That we would be faithful servants to the very end. And that as long as the Lord Jesus Christ tarries, that you will find us faithful here. And Lord, I pray that always be our testimony in this place. So Father, we ask and pray tonight that you would help us to see how to value the work of the Lord. How we should show that in these days. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what will be accomplished tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure you know the statement. It's a statement that we hear often. It's been said that one man's junk is another man's treasure. Some people seem to take great delight in finding other people's things and turning them into something for them which is of great value. But you know, we all look at things differently. We don't value all things equally. What might be valuable to you may not be valuable to me. And the way that we look at certain things may cause us to view it as junk or trash, yet to others, it's of great treasure. The story is told of a man who had a passion for old books. One day he met one of his friends, his acquaintance, and that acquaintance, that friend, had just thrown away a Bible that had been stored in the attic of his ancestral home for generations. As they carried on the conversation, this man began to explain why he would throw away that Bible. He said, "It's a book that I just could never read," the friend said. "Somebody named Guten something or another had printed it." Well, the man who was a lover of books, in horror, exclaimed, "Gutenberg? The man didn't seem to know who he was, and so he went on to explain, well, that Bible was the first book ever printed. In fact, a copy of that Bible has sold for over $2 million. His friend really still wasn't all that impressed. He said, well, that Bible might have sold for over $2 million, but mine wouldn't have fetched a penny. See, there was this guy named Martin Luther who scribbled all over it in German. Not everybody understands the value of certain things, or not everyone sees it the same way. And the reality is, we all look at things from a little different point of view. How do we know that we truly are showing something of value? How do we show value in some things? Well, Thomas Paine said, what we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. 'Tis dearness only that gives everything its value. That which you and I consider dear is something that we will give ourselves to. And by giving ourselves to it, we will show the value of that item. As we come to Nehemiah 11 and 12, we find the people of God willing to give to the Lord, and in so doing, showing that they desire to live with eternity's values in view. As we look at these two chapters tonight, I want to consider three things that we ought to be willing to give if we value the work of the Lord. Nehemiah has spent his time coming back and giving to the people of God a vision for the work that needed to be done. The walls were built. The reforms were put in place, and the people experienced great revival. How would that last? It would only last if the people of God would value the work of God. And how would they show that value to the work of God? It would be demonstrated in that which they would give. And in chapters 11 and 12, there are three things that they give which declare that they believe the work of God was valuable. And if you and I value the work of God, we ourselves would give these things as well. And folks, I hope that as you and I consider the work of the Lord, as we consider the ministry of Jesus Christ today, as we consider the ministry of our church, that we would understand it is of great value. We should see that the same. To all of us, God's work ought to be a treasure. To all of us, there should be great value in serving Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. He declared what he believed to be valuable. He died for us, his body. And we ought to consider his work today of great value. And I hope you do. How do we demonstrate, though, that value? Number one, would you see with me, that if we value the work of the Lord, we must give ourselves to the Lord. Look at Nehemiah 11 and look at verse 1 and 2 with me. And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. As we begin to look at Nehemiah 11 and chapter 12 together, we're going to understand that chapter 11 and the first part of chapter 12 deal with the repopulation of the city of God. Most of the Jews, upon returning from exile to the land of their promise, began to dwell and settle in villages and towns outside of the city of Jerusalem. By doing so, they would avoid the dangers of living within the city that was unprotected, where the enemies of Jehovah had determined that they would try to keep that city and its walls from ever being built. Because Jerusalem as a city built and thriving would be a threat to their success and their prosperity. Now that the walls had been rebuilt and the gates had been restored, Nehemiah now comes and he begins to exhort the people to come and to repopulate the city of God. This city, which was the center of Jewish life, needed now to be rebuilt. And so Nehemiah puts together a plan with the people that they would begin to come back and to dwell again within the city of God. that they would come and begin to rebuild the houses and to rebuild all of those things that would make this city again a vibrant city, a city that is great. Again, the work that would take place now in this city, I'll remind you, would be preparatory for future blessing to Israel and really the world. Because in just a few hundred years, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come to that city, and there He will minister. And outside that city, He would give His life for us upon the cross of Calvary. The work that they would do and the decision to move back to the city would be a hard decision. In verse 1, we see that Nehemiah put together a plan that would bring one in every 10. 1/10 of the people would leave their homes, to leave their villages, to leave their cities that they were now living in, and come back to Jerusalem to repopulate the city. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 2. Because really this is the key focus of chapter 11, the first part of 12. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. And I don't want you to miss those three words in the middle. Willingly offered themselves. The people of God blessed those who willingly offered themselves. As Nehemiah put before the people of God that there was a need to repopulate the city, that the work of God would be able to go forth, that the work in the temple would be able to be continued, that the city would become again the center of Jewish life, there were people that willingly offered themselves to the Lord. They were willing to sacrifice that the work of God might continue. They valued that work and they showed it by giving of themselves and giving of their own lives. I want you to consider what that meant for a moment. That would mean for some they would leave their family. It means they would leave their friends. And they would leave all that was familiar. They would leave behind their comfort for chores and hard work. They would leave behind security and safety for possible toil and trials. But they willingly offered themselves because they valued the work of God. Nehemiah was willing to leave the comforts of the palace that he might come with a determination to rebuild the city walls. And now he asked the people of God that 10% of those people would come back and join him in that city, and there to live, and there to do the work, and there to repopulate that city, that it could be a place of blessing once again. And they so valued that work of God that they said, I will give myself willingly, that God's work might go forward. Beloved, that's the need today within the Church of Jesus Christ. There's a need for Christians who are willing to offer themselves unto the Lord because we value His work. There's a need for us to so value the work of the church that we're willing to give of our very lives. Romans 12, 1 and 2 are verses that we all know very well. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You and I could quote it without even looking at it. We could probably say it frontwards, backwards, and upside down, and it really doesn't matter. It is a verse we know very well. I wonder how often we have considered what it means. Based on the salvation of Jesus Christ, His mercies. Based on the reality that He came and He gave His life for us. Do we value that salvation and His work enough that we would be willing to give our own lives as living sacrifices for Him? Do we care enough about what He has done that we would be willing to truly sacrifice? If Folks, consider that attending a service on any Sunday or any Wednesday is not a sacrifice. Putting our tithe into an offering plate is not really a sacrifice. You and I know much of God's blessing, but very few of us really understand what it means to sacrifice. In reading of some commentaries this week, one simply asked the question, I wonder how many people in the Church of Jesus Christ today would sell their homes and move if it was told to them that that was what was needed in order for the work of God to go forward. How many of us would be willing to leave the comforts that we know? How many of us are willing to leave our family and our friends and that which is familiar because God would say, go to this place or that place and do His work? The Lord Jesus Christ valued your soul enough that He would give His life upon the cross of Calvary. He died because He loved you. And He paid a great and a precious price. Can I ask you tonight, how much do you value His love? How much do we value it? Are we willing to make a sacrifice for the Lord? Throughout the remaining verses in this section, really down to chapter 12 and verse 26, Nehemiah lists for us in detail those who moved back into the city and records for us the various people that would labor and work within the temple. It's something that we become very accustomed to in the book of Nehemiah. Over and again, he would give to us the list of people and the list of names, and that's what he's doing here for us. As I consider all that Nehemiah would begin to list now in chapter 11, down through chapter 12, without us going through all of those details tonight, I think it's needless that we'd say that without going through that list, that it takes many different people to accomplish the work of the Lord. Have you considered lately the number of jobs and the amount of work that needs to be done in any given church? A wise pastor and a wise people will understand that although it's usually a pastor and a few other people in the front that are seen, it takes many more people to effectively do the work of the Lord. You get to see me week after week. And sometimes we begin to think that maybe it's the pastor that's the only one who does anything around the church. But folks, the pastor in any church cannot do what he does effectively without everyone else that is working and laboring alongside. What needs to be done within the church today? Well, folks, we need Sunday school teachers. We need people that will commit themselves to week after week teaching children the Word of God and giving to us opportunity that we can come and study together in a very easy fashion, in a simple fashion, in a way that we can interact. We need those who are willing to dedicate themselves to give of their time and sacrifice to teach. We need nursery workers. We need ladies who are willing to give of their time and to be dedicated to provide a safe environment for smaller children who cannot yet fully understand, so that moms and dads might be able to be ministered unto. It is not glorious work working with babies and infants. It is not a glorious job to deal with the diaper changes and deal with the whining and deal with the crying, but it is necessary work. You take that little group that we hear the little bit of noises out. Now, you can hear them now if you really listen, because I can hear them up here and I'm partially deaf. Okay, so I know you can hear them. You take that noise and you magnify it by putting them in the pew and see how much we get out of a morning service. Get out of an evening service. We need ladies who will give themselves to that work. Oh, but I don't want to miss a service. It's okay. We'll give you a CD. You can go online and you can listen. You can be edified as you edify others. That's work that needs to be done. We need junior church workers to work with our younger children to give them a place that they can learn the Word of God. We need youth workers who will work in tandem with our youth pastor that the next generation will be trained as faithful servants for our Savior. We need those who are willing to clean and those who are willing to mow and those who are willing to come and shovel the snow, that this property and this facility might be a place that is a testimony for Jesus Christ. That we can come and enjoy the blessings of God. being ministered unto. We need tradesmen who can help keep up on the maintenance in our building needs. We need office personnel to keep the administrative portions of the church and school functioning properly. And we haven't even mentioned the school. We have teachers who need to come and be able to do their work. We need volunteers to be able to come in and assist them and help them, that we can teach and train other children, not only in reading, writing, and arithmetic, that we can develop within them godly character. And the list can go on. We need people who can learn how to run a sound system so it can be a blessing to others and that things can be taped and placed to our website. We need those who help us to do our website and improve it time upon time. Those things don't stop. They continue on. And the list could go on and on and on. Here's the question tonight. Where are you serving? What parts do you have in seeing the work of God go forward? What value are you placing in this ministry? Where are you involved? I'm thankful for those who are willing that when we have a fellowship set up for us, and I don't have to think about it anymore and clean up afterwards. Where are you active? Where are you serving? Where are you involved? If we value the ministry of God, we would give ourselves to the ministry, to the work. And in Nehemiah 11, verse 2, there were those who willingly offered themselves to the Lord. They valued God's work. I want you to see yet another thing that we must give, and that is this. If we value the work of the Lord, we must not only give our lives a living sacrifice, but we must give our praise to God. In chapter 12, beginning in verse 27, we find Nehemiah along with Ezra gathering the people of Jerusalem for a time to dedicate the walls. On that day, there would be a grand processional parade accompanied with deliberate praise. Ezra would lead one group and Nehemiah would lead another. And this parade most probably started at the Valley Gate, with Ezra's group proceeding south and Nehemiah's and the choir going north. Both groups would meet at the temple, and there they would offer sacrifices unto the Lord. In fact, it says they offered great sacrifices to the Lord. Look at verse 27, if you would, and then we're going to jump down to verse 43. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places, to bring them to Jerusalem and to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. Now look at verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifice and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and children rejoice, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. This dedication was a time of great rejoicing, and so it should have been. It's interesting to note that this parade took place along the wall itself. Literally, these companies following Ezra and following Nehemiah would be walking along the top of the wall. I can't help but think that Nehemiah must have had in mind the words of Tobiah back in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 3. Remember when they began to build the wall? Remember how Tobiah would taunt them and he would say, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." I can't imagine that, only imagine that Nehemiah would think, "What do you think about that, Tobiah? We have a company marching, singing, and praising our God. And it held. Our God is good, is he not?" Verse 43, again, we find a very interesting statement. It says that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. So great was the rejoicing of the people that it was heard in far off places. Shouldn't that be the testimony of the people of God today? You know, it's amazing to me. The celebrations of the world are held and heard afar off. But we who have greater reason to rejoice too often are silent. You know, when Mount Pearl has its festival days, I can stand outside of my house and I can listen to the music and I can hear literally the people in the center of the square. I wonder if there's ever been a time where the people of God here in Mount Pearl have ever been heard by the people of our own community. We have great reason to rejoice. Now, I've always been someone that really does not enjoy, nor do I like, when I am made to listen to other people's music. I don't know how you are, but I tend to get a little irritated if I'm out driving and I pull up to a light and someone's next to me and I hear boop, 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 boop. I really don't want to hear what they're listening to. I really could care less what music they like and what they want to enjoy, and I really don't like to listen to it. I don't know about you, but I get a little ornery from time to time. I have a CD player in my car too. It can be cranked up just as loud as yours can. So sometimes I'll be listening to boop, 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 and I just turn mine up. And it's singing praises to the Lord. Know what I do? I want to see how long it takes for him to turn down his radio because he's getting irritated listening to mine. I can't stand to listen to his noise and his junk. You know what the people of God need to do? We need to lift our voices in praise. It ought to be heard afar. They ought to know that we're the people of God rejoicing for what God has done. We ought to lift our voice in praise. It needs to be heard throughout the city. They need to know the goodness of God. We shouldn't be afraid to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. How great it would be to let the sacrifice of the praise of our lips be heard continually throughout our city. How we ought to fill this city with our praise and doctrine, that our city be set upside down for the gospel's sake. The people in Nehemiah's day gave of the sacrifice of the praise of their lips. They praised their God that it was heard afar off, because they valued the work of God. And they believed that everyone needed to hear how good their God is. The people of God so valued the work of God that they gave of their lives, and they openly praised God with their lips. They were not ashamed, nor should we be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. We ought to give the fruit of our lips a continual sacrifice of praise unto our God. If we value that work, we ought to be willing to say, I'm glad, and have reason to rejoice. Finally tonight, we find in chapter 12, verse 44 to 47, that they willingly gave their gifts unto the Lord. They gave their gifts unto the Lord. They valued the work of the Lord. And as such, they were willing to give of their resources for that work. We find in verse 44 and following that they now have begun to set those over the chambers of the treasurers. Those who would take in the offerings. Remember that we looked at even last week that there were those who were willing to give, and they promised to give sacrifice. They would give of their tithes. They would give of the first fruits. They would give of the wood offering and these things and their tax that they would give. They willingly said, we will supply and support the work of the Lord. So now Nehemiah sets up those who would oversee the giving of those gifts. Look at verse 47. And all of Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. You know what that means? God's people gave. God's people gave that the singers and the porters could give those things that the Levites would need, that the Levites could supply for those who were the priests, that the work in the temple could go forward. They gave of their own resources. What they promised to give, they gave. You know, where you and I put our resources really shows what we value. At People continue to give to the workers every day their portion. They continually gave to the needs of the temple, and the worship of God was met. If you and I truly value the work of the Lord, we would do the same. Now, none of us like it when the preacher talks about money, because that gets a little too personal. And I'm not going to give you a long lecture about giving or tithing and how we ought to give to the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question, though. What does our giving say about what we value? That's for you to evaluate. That's not me to evaluate you or you to evaluate me. That's for you to evaluate you. What does your giving to the Lord say about what you value? How does what we do with the resource entrusted to us by God, what does that say about how much we value the things of God and the work of God? The people in Nehemiah's day showed that they valued the work of the Lord. So tonight I ask you, do we truly value His work? Nehemiah came and he sacrificed as a man of prayer and a man of faith that the city of Jerusalem be rebuilt. He started with the walls. And then along with Ezra, he would enact some spiritual reforms, and through that there would come revival. And now a city needs to be rebuilt and repopulated. And people willingly gave themselves and sacrificed because they valued the work of God. Then Nehemiah said today that there would be a dedication for that work that was completed, because all glory and praise belongs to God for everything that is done. And folks, anything that takes place here that is of any value is work that God does, not that we do. We are only privileged to be partners in His work. What a blessing it is to be involved in that work. We have taken time to remodel and do some work within our academy. For what purpose? That glory can be brought to us, see what we've done? No. So that glory can be brought to our God, and that place can be used, that we can train another generation to grow up and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, because they need to be prepared. They need to be taught reading, writing, and arithmetic in a Christian environment, that they might develop godly character within their life and serve Him all the days of their life. That's the Lord's work, and to that we ought to give Him praise. They showed their value simply because they made sure that the work of God continued on. They gave, and portions were given every day that work could be complete. Are you and I determined to do God's work today? Before you answer that question, be ready and understand that in order to be determined to do that work, it's going to require a sacrifice. It's not enough to say, I'm dedicating myself to the Lord, I'm going to serve Him, and do nothing about it. These folks did that, and then they gave. They gave of themselves, they gave of their praise, and they gave of their own resource. Because they valued the work of the Lord, are you determined to do His work today? Do we consider it something of great value? If so, we must sacrifice our lives, our lips, and even our lucre. I trust tonight that we'd be willing to show to all who will look on that we're willing to live with eternity's values in view, for His honor, for His glory, till He come. Let's pray.